The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Voice API, you get comprehensive call analytics, virtual assistants, automated speech recognition, and text-to-speech benefits across multiple languages. Developers can add smart voice functionalities into your app, giving your customers an easier way to reach you. And you can start collecting real-time data to drive more meaningful engagement to move your business forward. Learn more at Vonage.com.
Thank you for joining us for Thursday Night Football, Week 3. Houston Texans visited the New England Patriots. We're breaking it down right now. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
If you're a Patriots fan, you like this.
Yeah, I have bad news about this song.
I like them. Yeah.
I'm not joining.
Are we bitter? Yeah. We're a little bit. Just a little bit.
Listen, I'm not a Texans fan, but I just don't like anything Boston since I'm from New York.
Ah, there you go.
It was a sweet night for one team, not for the others. How are you guys? My name is Michael Rippey. You can find me on social media at Mike Rips. I'm your host, and I'm joined by...
Hey, guys. I'm JJ Juergens. You can follow me at JJ Juergens.
I am Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
And I am Jill Monroe. You can follow me on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, all the good ones, at Stiletto Jill.
The good ones. What are the bad ones?
What about the bad ones? Like Periscope. I don't think anybody Periscopes
like
anymore.
Periscope.
Meek Rat. Okay. You know, that's dead.
What about your blog? What about your blog? Where can we see
that? Oh, Jackson Stiletto Jill. We'll talk about that later.
Nice. Yeah.
Meet me there.
All right. So we had a doozy tonight. Week 3 started off with a... not a great one.
No.
The New England Patriots, 27. Houston Texans, 0.
Wow.
All hail the New England Patriots.
Bill
Belichick is the one.
Is the Lombardi Trophy going to be the Belichick Trophy in the future?
There you go.
He said he was going to change it tonight.
Think that's a legitimate question, though. Maybe not for the Lombardi Trophy, but some type of Super Bowl award. Maybe, like, I don't know if the AFC Championship Trophy has a name or the NFC Championship Trophy has a name or anything with the Championship Trophy has a name. But his name is going to be on something, without a doubt.
Tonight, his name was all over the Houston Texans as this was, like, this was Bill Belichick at his finest tonight. This is what he lives for.
Yeah.
When you think that you count the Patriots out, they come back and just... Easy win.
Their third string quarterback.
Jacoby Brissett.
Third string quarterback. He's a rookie. You know, Brady's out. Jimmy goes down. Next up.
Yeah.
And I love seeing things like this, though, because it's like, yeah, we would have maybe never seen him had everything gone the way they thought it was going to go this season. So I love that you have a guy like this who just seems as sweet as can be and comes in and just plays a spectacular game and just he seems to have his whole team behind him, his coach behind him. It's just fun. I think that's fun to watch.
He was good enough tonight. I don't think he was as good as it seemed like, because they won 27-0 New England. He did everything asked of him, don't get me wrong. But if you look at the stats, and Josh, maybe you have them.
Yes.
Want to give us some of the stats
Jacoby was 11 for 19 for 103 yards.
So 100 yards in the air, normally that's not great, but he managed the game well. He had a nice run for a touchdown, and... They ran the ball 40 times, the Patriots.
Right. And Jacoby also rushed the ball for eight times for 48 yards.
I just think mentally, for somebody who had like 3 days to prepare to be like the starting quarterback, we were talking about the Rams last week and how he's seen ghosts when he's out there. So it's like for that sense, for me, for somebody to come out and be mentally tough and not... shit himself, basically, you know.
The Patriots
really good
way.
It was the Patriots way. This is what the Patriots do. They don't ask their team to do too much. They knew they had a young rookie quarterback, the first rookie starting for New England in 2 decades, maybe 3. And he just managed the game perfectly. But it's the whole team. It's Bill Belichick. They don't make any errors, and Houston made all the errors tonight. If you look at the stats, Houston had 3 turnovers,
right.
All crucial. Mm-hmm. Let's start first. Let's before we even get to the game, I want to talk about the color rush uniforms because that's a Thursday night specific thing. What do you guys think about the uniforms tonight for the teams? It seemed like for me, Houston was in all whites, and I think they wear that uniform. It didn't seem any different. And then New England, though, with all the navy blue, I thought they looked really sharp.
I did too. I really like that uniform.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's my dislike for the Patriots, but I didn't care for it.
Okay.
I think Houston's actual color rush colors, because, you know, on Thursday nights, the whole, as we talked about last week, the colorblind thing, so one team is going to have to take the white uniforms. I can't remember what the colorway is, but it's available on NFL.com, and it's a little more iced up. Yeah. You know, the color rush uniforms, it's just what it is. Like, I don't feel really any strongly type of way about it. I think it's cute. It gives Thursday night football something different, but
I
whatever.
Do like when it's a team with bright colors, like the Panthers.
Wait till next week.
Like that kind of blue. Yeah. I think that looks really good.
Wait, well, next week, we'll get to it, but next week we have Dolphins and Bengals. One team's going to be in all orange.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
Highlighter.
I might take that back.
Speaking of that. So, all right, so the color rush, whatever. Before we also get to the game, Dwayne Brown, the one player, he was inactive tonight, but he's an all-pro guard for the Texans. He during the anthem, he had his fist raised. I think it's important that we mention that that's a situation that we should monitor throughout the season, seeing how it ebbs and flows, if more people protest as the season goes along. I mean, what do you guys think? I think this is my question. Obviously, everybody, we know what's going on, and we're here to talk football, but this is part of what's going on in football right now. Do we think that in a month, in 2 months, that more players are protesting, maybe coaches are protesting, are the protests reined back? How is this going to change? I'm just curious what you guys think about the evolution of this. How does it evolve? Because we're seeing more people, players, talk about it. I'm not sure how many players are you know, raising their fists or standing and protesting. I'm just curious what you guys think as far as the protest, not if it's right or wrong and what your personal beliefs, but do you think we'll see more of it on the whole throughout the season?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I think it's going to slowly die out.
Yeah, it's slowly
die out.
Okay.
I do.
Sure.
I just feel like things like that, they always have like their moment in time. And yeah, exactly. That's a good word for it.
Okay.
And then they eventually just die off. That's just me personally. Unless,
sure.
But, you know, there was an incident this week. So if that continues to happen, I think I'll be proven wrong. But I don't know why, for some reason, like going into this game, I didn't even think of it. And obviously, like, my mind doesn't speak for America, but I think people are already starting to get over it.
Well, I think, I hope not, but I also think that the protest can change. So I'm not necessarily sure that, maybe it's not before the game, the protest, but there could be different forms of protest.
Yes.
Maybe. So I'm just curious about the pregame antics of kneeling or raising the fist, how this will evolve. I think you had something to say.
I think that it will be continued on because it's having such an impact in the lower ranks and where it's traveling to. You see high school teams now doing it. You see some AAU teams. You're seeing, you know, volleyball players doing it, women's volleyball players. So I think that it's crossing in different areas. So from that aspect, it will continue. Something that we're going to talk about a little later about what's happening in North Carolina. So what I do think is going to change is the amount of players and how they speak about it. Just looking at what's happened with Cam Newton this week, contrasting his thoughts and some of the things he shared, we've seen some commentators and some, you know, former players double back or double down on their stance. So I think that it will become more nuanced in how it's discussed and how it's handled, but I don't think it's just going to go away just by nature of how hard it's hitting. Colin Kaepernick is on the cover of Time magazine this week, so
he's getting notoriety. Not sure that's the right word, but if he wanted to get his vision or his idea out, and people are talking about it. So from that standpoint, he's getting it into the news. And also, we did see this week already so far, I mean, Richard Sherman came out and he decided he didn't want to really talk about in his press conference the game. So that's another form of protesting. And one thing to think about is soon, in about another month, we're going to get the other major sports. For NBA is going to return.
Yes.
And I know the NBA is planning a lot. I mean, that's a heavily black league, so they're planning a lot. So you got to, I just imagine as athletes, now the football players soon are going to have other athletes to work in unison and kind of riffraff and play with each other and decide what is the right form. So I'm just curious. I think we're going to see continued protest. I just don't know which way, and I'm just curious. Well, you know.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned major sports. There's a major sport going on right now, baseball. Nothing.
But there's a difference. I think, you know, there's been certain things to talk about. The, you know, the amount of black players in baseball currently.
But just because you're, not black doesn't mean you can't support a certain issue.
It doesn't mean that, but even if you look at the NFL, for the most part, the players that are standing up on field and sort of leading the charge, they are black. And, you know, as I believe it was Adam Jones came out about baseball and how that league, you know, has seen their participation of blacks drop to about 8%. And as far as those issues, I think it's something that kind of jumps over them. You mentioned the NBA. The NBA and the NBA Players Association are actually working together on how that they will handle anthem things. Because in the NBA, you're required to stand. There's no, you know, it's not optional, even though it's not optional technically in the NFL, but it is. So I think that there's going to be a different way that they are handling it. But, you know, the, obviously, the NBA, PA, just going off subject for one quick second, Chris Paul, LeBron James is the VP, you know, all spoke about it this summer at the ESPYs.
And also, we'll get back to football and we'll start shortly. The NBA, they're going to be it's going to be different because they play so many games. I mean, 82 games in the season. It's not once a week. So it'll be varied. It'll be interesting to see how this develops and keeps evolving. And hopefully it's all peaceful and hopefully we get, you know, change made as quick as possible. Okay, but let's talk about the game. It wasn't an exciting game, but let's rewind it to the first quarter. First off, my initial thoughts: Houston had no game plan. I don't know what their coach Bill O'Brien, who used to be a Patriots assistant, he had his team very ill prepared, and I was surprised, is what I would say, because I had higher expectations of this Houston team, and they laid an egg. And they laid an egg against a third-string quarterback. I mean, they made mental mistakes, the turnovers. What did you guys think?
I completely agree with you. I thought that they would definitely come out a lot tougher and have a better game plan. Because they really just gave them the game. I mean, their fumbles. And
it seemed so early, too, that they gave it to...
Yeah.
They got behind so quickly that New England was able to get into the game of just run the ball, don't turn it over, play sound defense. And Houston was like... They had no answer to that. Yeah. Just make more mistakes.
Well, they tried to establish a run with Lamar Miller, and that wasn't working. And I think they thought that would work, and it didn't, obviously. Brock was wildly inconsistent all day. But honestly, I don't think the New England Patriots defense gets enough credit. They are really good.
They are.
And no one really talks about them when they talk about the Patriots. I know
they
obviously it's Brady, and the story's Garoppolo, and now Brissett. But the defense won this game today. Make no mistake about it. I mean, and special teams, what you mentioned before, that early fumble. They fumbled twice, right? Well, on the kickoffs?
They had three turnovers with the interception, but you're right,
Right, and then on top of it, to add to my point, Miller couldn't run the ball. None of the receivers can get separation.
Well, I'm going to stop on that for
DeAndre a second. DeAndre could, that's
DeAndre,
it. But he's the only one.
Okay, but that's all you need. This is why I was really upset with Houston's game plan, because you have DeAndre Hopkins. To me, DeAndre Hopkins is a top five wide receiver in the
NFL. I
agree. You have a quarterback that's 6'7", in Brock Osweiler. DeAndre Hopkins is a tall receiver. On these third and twos, why were they running Lamar Miller into the line when they couldn't establish a run? Throw the ball to your prime time receiver for these. It wasn't even in the game plan. For him to only have four catches and you lose 27-0, that's embarrassing.
You know how many targets he had, out of curiosity?
I don't know the targets, but he had four catches for about 58 yards. And I like Will Fuller, the rookie, but he can't. He drops the ball too
much.
He
had a huge drop. Yeah.
And it just seemed like the game plan was just, I didn't know what they were calling. Get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. I agree. The rest of the guys couldn't get separation, but DeAndre Hopkins doesn't need separation. Throw the ball high, he'll make the catch, and at least go down with him trying to make plays, not run the same Lamar Miller play for 3 yards. I just didn't like it. That was my take. Not only was this game won by the defense of New England, it was won by Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Belichick had his handprint all over this game. His team was ready. They were prepared. They shut the other team down. He's a defensive wizard. And he won with a third-string quarterback that had 3 days to prepare.
Which we should also
in
comment.
In a blowout fashion.
Up against
fantasy stats.
How many million does Brock get? Was it 72 million? What was
Brock's,
his?
Brock signed a big contract.
He has a nice contract.
You compare those two.
Yeah.
No, Jacoby Brissett was better than Brock by a lot.
Fantasy Stats Guru is in the chat room. He said they did try and establish the run, but O'Brien should have known that they need to come out firing to put some pressure on the rookie QB to try and make a comeback. I just want to know also what happened to the Texans defense. I mean, you're going in, you know, with the number one defensive player in the league, and this is the results. Not like I know we knew the game plan going in that it was going to be run the ball. That's not a question. So what happened?
This was one of my points I was going to get to. J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt. We hear all about J.J. Watt all season long. J.J. Watt had two tackles tonight. They ran. New England ran the ball 40 times. How does J.J. Watt get all this publicity and he's so good? And where was he tonight? He was only in on two tackles on the entire field on 40 rushing plays when you knew New England was going to rush. Well, you knew New England was running the whole game. I get that it's not just J.J. Watt. Don't get me wrong. But if you're going to be the unsung hero and the star of a defense, show up a little bit. Two tackles?
Well, my thing is I think Jacoby's mobility kind of got to him. He had that early touchdown, and I think that probably set the tone for a running game. They ran a couple sweeps to Edelman.
They had a college off. They were running a little bit of an option.
So I think they were off balance, to be honest with you.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I think that just caused JJ and the Houston Texans defense to have a bad game. And I don't think they were prepared enough for the mobility of Jacoby and the mobility of the New England Patriots run game.
They were. I don't know why they got off the. I don't know why they got off the plane or the bus. Seriously.
So you wanted to know how many targets Hopkins had tonight? Yes. Fantasy Stats Guru is on it. He said he had eight targets. He was being doubled the whole game over the top, and that he agrees that he should have been using the possession on the receiver on third downs.
Of course. So. Also, there was a couple pass interference calls I didn't agree with. There was two in the first couple quarters against Houston.
In the end zone?
Cornerbacks. No, the one in the end zone, I actually agreed. Okay. There were, the last one in the end zone, I agreed with. The guy, the cornerback wrapped up Martellus Bennett. I thought that was a pass interference, but early on it seemed like New England benefited from a call from two balls that were not accurate at all, so I don't think they had a chance to catch the receiver. I thought they got a little lucky there early in the game that helped them set the tone, and then Jacoby broke off a nice run, and before you knew it, New England got out ahead early and really just took control of the game. There's not too much other than I just think that Houston was really undisciplined tonight. And I was just really disappointed because I thought that Houston was going to be better than this season, and they just laid a big egg. Now, it's just one game. I think the other winners, and tell me what you guys think, the biggest winner outside of the New England Patriots was the entire AFC South division. Mm-hmm. Because Houston at 2-0 had a chance to, you go in here and you make a huge statement. You win in New England, or even keep it competitive. Now you're looking at they're 2-1. Now next week they're going to play Tennessee. That's in the division game.
Right.
That's almost a rivalry game. Now, before you know it, who knows what's going on with the season? You've allowed the Colts to stay afloat.
Right.
That entire division is completely different than if you would have asked me tonight. I thought Houston had a lock on it, and now after seeing the way Houston played tonight, I don't know what Houston is. Was it just they ran into the New England Patriots, or are they just? I mean, where do you think? Do we think they're that good, or what? Because I had them as a lock in the playoffs, and now I'm just not sure. What do you guys think?
I think I still have faith in them. I still think they're a strong team. I think it was a terrible night.
Just a bad night.
That's what I'm going with right now.
That's what I feel. They're not a contender. That's how I feel.
Okay.
They're going to get to the first round maybe win a game in the playoffs and then go home. They're not going to beat the Patriots. They're not going to beat the Steelers. And honestly, if the Colts get their act together, they're not going to beat the Colts either.
Well, do we think Houston is the division winner? It's Houston's in the division with Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indianapolis.
I mean, right.
I thought before tonight they were the lock in that division at this point. They looked like they had all the pieces.
I would have to see their schedule.
I really have to question everything about the team because they were so bad tonight. Because also, if you look at the game stats, you take away the score, and yes, Houston turned the ball over three times, and that's a recipe for disaster. The rest of it's pretty even. Time of possession, I think Houston had the ball a little bit longer than New England. Rushing and passing yards, I think Houston was right there. But to lose 27-0... It wasn't even close. I mean, the game wasn't even close, but the stats would tell you something else.
And just the fact that, for me, beyond that, I know Belichick is Belichick, but the fact that this, you know, young QB is coming in, first game, wasn't, you know, you're already dealing with a secondary player in Jimmy. Like, to me, Houston should have been better prepared. There's really no excuse.
There's one thing that I think exemplified it to tonight's game. There was a play, and the coach didn't even recognize, Bill O'Brien, the Houston Texans coach, didn't recognize he should challenge the spot that was 8 yards off.
On the kickoff.
And the punter had to alert him, like, hey, get a challenge in. Like, and he got in last second, but he's just, how was he not aware?
It wasn't his finest hour.
Things happen.
Maybe he was
emotional, you know, it's a home return, and, you know, his family was all there. He grew up really close, 20 miles.
I'm crushing Houston right now.
They deserve to be crushed.
We saw through that, and that was bad.
What we learned about Houston is that they're the same team as last year.
They really are.
They got to the playoffs, and they didn't have a quarterback good enough for them to advance. And don't get me wrong, I think Brock is better than what they had last year in Hoyer.
Yes.
But Brock has to make plays. And he hasn't shown the ability to, even in their wins, he really hasn't done much. It's been kind of sloppy.
Right.
He hasn't shown the ability to carry the team on his back
consistently.
Yet. Right. And especially with Lamar Miller struggling a little bit. I mean, he's getting the carries, but he's not really...
No, he's not turning it into
he's
actual...
He's not at all.
He's getting the... They're giving him a huge workload.
Right.
He hasn't turned that into something that's worthy of a huge
exactly.
workload.
Exactly. And Will Fuller looks like he's going to be a nice addition. DeAndre's DeAndre, but Brock has to step his game up a little bit.
Also, does Brock know how to take the ball from under center? It seems like he's in the shotgun the whole game.
But that's not Brock. That's play calling, so.
I would like to see them get into a normal offense. I don't know.
You have some coaching questions as well. Interesting.
I have a lot of questions. I was really disappointed with Houston, if you can't tell. something we did learn tonight. They are going to keep the kickoff rule.
Yes.
Where if you kick it in the end zone for a touchback, it comes to the 25 all season. And they gave that information out on the telecast. And that originally was planned to be evaluated after the fourth week. It was only put in for the first 4 weeks. But they're going to keep that all season. Do you guys have thoughts on that? I mean, how do you think?
Really.
Because the reason I ask is because, so the touchback rule changing to moving it to the 25 was supposed to reduce the amount of returns and therefore reduce the injuries.
Right.
To players getting the huge impact of a guy running down the field and hitting him. And instead, it's had the alternative effect.
Which makes you wonder why Rodgers keeping it.
Right. So now more teams are kicking it a little bit short of the end zone so that there's more returns. Therefore, there's more collisions when they were trying to actually do the opposite of the rule. And now they're going to keep the rule in play for the entire season, they said. Which is... sort of backwards.
Sort of. It is backwards. So you're saying you care about player safety, and then stats are proving that we're running the ball more often on kickoffs, which is more dangerous, and you're deciding to keep it. It's backwards.
It is backwards. So if you are watching and you're here in the chat or you want to comment, let us know what you guys think. Do you think that rule should go, should stay? What was your take on tonight's game? Let us know. Also, let us know on iTunes. Give us 5 stars if you like us. Hopefully.
You definitely like us.
Also, lastly, make sure to comment and chat with us on social media. We'd love to.
Oh, yeah, please.
At any point.
And we'll continue the conversation. You can send us your thoughts, opinions, critiques.
Yeah,
we'll take it all.
So
as long as it's constructive.
I think that's pretty much it. It was a pretty boring game, which frequently last season, this happened on Thursday nights, where there wasn't that of an exciting game. Last week was exciting, and then tonight wasn't, but hopefully next week will be different.
The only thing that I kind of wanted, although I never want to see anybody else get hurt again, I'm glad Brissett didn't get hurt, but I kind of wanted to see Edelman a little bit of quarterback.
I agree with JJ. I
kind of
wanted to see
that. That might have been a little interesting.
I mean, come on.
I was expecting an option pass to Edelman, and then he throws one in the end zone, but that didn't happen either.
Honestly, they probably had that in the playbook, and just we don't need to use anything right now.
Belichick, it's working.
Belichick is just we'll save this, because that's a play that they'll use. Guarantee we'll see that at some point in the season. But once they got out 10-0, that at that point, I was like, Belichick must think, we're already going to win this game. We just run the ball, play it safe. Yeah. Let's see if they can get 10 points. And they do everything, the Patriots. It's so frustrating as not a Patriots fan when you watch it. They do everything right. They don't make any mental mistakes, no penalties, no turnovers. They milk the clock.
Yeah.
They take the clock down to 3 seconds on just before you know it, you're in the third quarter and they're up by 3 touchdowns.
Coaching as art, presented by Bill Belichick. Because really, I mean, it's textbook, it's classic, but
say that though, they didn't even have they didn't get the ball on offense until 5 minutes left in the third quarter.
Houston Texans New England was able to waste away the first 10 minutes of the third quarter and get points, and before you know it, I mean, the game's over. They just, it's like they slow grind you out. Mm-hmm. They just do everything. It's so maddeningly frustrating. I'm a Dolphins fan. I've seen this for 20 years. It kills me. It never changes.
Sorry, man.
My team doesn't win, but okay.
And they won't.
One positive I will say for Houston, I was impressed with Vince Wilfork, former Patriot. His name was getting called a lot on the Houston defense, and he seemed to have a decent game. So
he is. I was watching something earlier where they said that he has become a leader in the Texans locker room as not just on on the line, but also in the locker room, and overall had a positive effect on the team. So I guess he's taking the Patriots winning ways and trying to be spread them around to his new team and maybe add to that ring collection.
I don't think they're going to add
Rings. That's just positive vibes. I'm just sending them.
The only one he'd be getting is if New England like sent him one is like.
But it's still early.
It is early.
It's very early. Yeah, Brock can all of a sudden turn it up, and then
things will change. If somehow Houston turns into a contender by the end of the season, I'll be blown away by tonight's effort, because tonight was so poor. I just don't remember teams that are that talented and that good
laying an egg like that.
I mean, because not even laying it, get 3 points. You can't get 3 points. They couldn't cross midfield. That's bad.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is one.
You get hot at the end. I mean, I'm a Giant fan. I've seen two Super Bowls when we were mediocre all year, and then all of a sudden, you know, you turn it on and you win a Super Bowl. So it's possible.
Voice of reason.
And I'm a Rams fan, so I have nothing.
You're just waiting on a touchdown.
Right. It's coming.
The LA Rams have not gotten a touchdown since like 1994. Okay, so let's move to this weekend. We have games on Sunday. Josh, you want to talk about the lead us in?
So Arizona Buffalo. Yeah, I like Arizona a lot in that game. Buffalo's defense looks terrible. Their offense, they just fired their offensive
coordinator. There you go. Since last week, they fired Greg Roman.
Yeah.
After they scored 31 points, they gave up 37 points. Yeah. They fired the offensive coordinator. Confusing.
Yeah, for a Rex Ryan team too, their defense is not intimidating. So I don't expect this game to be that close at all.
I agree. I like Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, let's. Another game?
My game that I'm looking forward to this week is Josh's team, Giants versus Redskins. We got the word that Josh Norman is going head-to-head with Odell Beckham Jr. You know that rivalry started last season. Over the summer, Odell was saying, hey, Josh Norman got paid because of me, because of our competition. I mean, the audacity, the level of ego levels. Because I made you pop in, you got your coins. So this matchup is going to be interesting. Obviously, Josh didn't get any burn against Antonio Brown when the Redskins played the Steelers earlier. So we want to see Josh earn his money. We want to see this matchup of the two divas. I'm rolling with your Giants.
Thank you.
So,
I'm with you. I'm so excited for this one, too. There have been so many great clips and so many packages I've been watching in the morning and stuff with these two that I'm so fired up to see this game, and I'm with you on the Giants, too.
Thank you.
So
I'm taking compliments like I'm on a team.
Who's going to win the one-on-one matchup between Josh Norman and Odell Beckham, do you think?
ODB. Dance on him. Float on him.
If he didn't drop that pass last year, I think his numbers last year against him would have been ridiculous.
Do we think that either of them get personal foul penalties?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody does. I don't know who, but
I think Norman.
I also think the refs are going to be looking at that matchup very closely. So anything, you know, they're both very passionate players that express themselves. So anything that sort of looks out of line, I think they're going to look to establish control very early in the game to keep it under control.
They actually came out and said they're going to have a little extra attention on that matchup. So you're right.
See, there you go.
What any game that you're looking to?
I mean, that was my main one for the weekend.
Let's talk about Steelers Eagles for a minute, because this has become an exciting game. The matchup of Pennsylvania. We have Carson Wentz, who has announced himself in the first two games. Now he's going against a real team. If he's able to put up any type of game like he has had the first two against Pittsburgh, there would really be no questions on whether he's super talented and you know, right now the only thing you could say, he's looked fantastic, but the only thing you could say is who he's played against.
Right.
If he's able to do it against Pittsburgh, I mean, that we can't say that anymore.
That's true. I do think the game's going to be a little high scoring, though. I do expect both offenses to play well. I mean, I do expect the Steelers to come out victorious, though. But I expect Carson to have maybe like two touchdowns, maybe an interception. I think he starts turning the ball over a little bit against that Steelers defense.
Which will be interesting because he has not a turnover.
But yet. I do think they put up points.
Points. So we look for points in that game.
Steelers in the over. Boom.
There you go.
Steelers in the over.
Mm-hmm. You have Vikings-Panthers, too.
Talk about that, because there's also, you know, which is a good one to talk about with what's happened in North Carolina this past week.
There are protests happening currently in Charlotte because a couple of days ago, Keith Lamont Scott was sitting in a car allegedly reading a book. Police officers shot him because he didn't comply. So there are currently protests in the city, and the question is, will the NFL need to move locations of Sunday's game? They said that if something, a decision will be made tomorrow, I guess, based on the status of what is happening within the city. Cam Newton has come out and said he thinks that it could unify the city. We know with the Freddie Gay riots in Baltimore a couple of, was that last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Baseball played, MLB played a game with no fans. So there could be that option. Do you guys think that it's something worthy of moving the game? They're not sure if they're going to have enough security at it, or do you think that it's sort of the protest will go around that and it's not really, we saw with, what was it, a couple of years ago with the protests happening like at the Saints games and so forth, little mention. So do you think that it's something that the NFL should really think about moving?
I'll go first. Yeah, it depends. I think it's up to the city officials of Charlotte, to be honest with you. They have to figure out the tone of the city, the vibe of the city, and they have to make the best call for the citizens of that city. At the end of the day, this is just a football game. Mm-hmm. So if lives are at risk or anything, you have to move the game or cancel the game. But that's up to the city of Charlotte, the government officials. I don't really think it should be up to the NFL, to be honest with you.
I agree. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. I mean, I think you'd have to see how things progress in the next few days, see what the climate's like, and yeah, make the call. But yeah, you're right. It is just a football game, and when it comes down to it, and if people are going to get hurt, then I think they need to move it.
I think safety first. So we'll have to see. I think they're going to end up keeping it. I mean, it's clearly that would be the easiest thing to do. Is keep the game in Charlotte, and you'd want that to happen. I mean, for Carolina's sake as a football team, you would hope for, you know, they want to keep the game at home. But obviously, if it's too dangerous a situation, that they, you know, then they would need to move it. Ideally, they could have it as a rallying cry, maybe as a unifying type of thing for the town. I would hope that they, you know, the town can use their football team as something to get behind and show their unity amongst the team.
Now, that's cool, but then during the national anthem, you know, if a couple people raise their fists, now does that divide the crowd at the game even more than it usually would? You know, are people's emotions heightened because of the protest or because of what's going on? And then, you know, the crowd sees someone raise their fist and they don't agree, and then they start fighting with people who do agree.
I think it's a personal thing where people are agreeing, disagreeing. I would hope that they could keep the game in Charlotte, and that you know, peace can win out, and that it didn't heighten the risk and stuff. But I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Let's look at another game. We'll go to Cleveland and Miami, and I say that because Cleveland has lost Corey Coleman, one of their wide receivers, so they've had, you know, down on their luck. Also, we should mention Adrian Peterson from Minnesota is going to be gone for maybe the whole season now.
Yep.
That changes Minnesota's outlook. I don't know if there's any other games you guys want to talk about.
Detroit Green Bay. Yes, division game.
Okay.
The Lions, they're 1-1, but they look pretty decent. Stafford looks like he's going to have a good year. Mm-hmm. And Green Bay's offense is still struggling, even with Jordy back, which I kind of find surprising.
I think it's going to take him a little bit of time this season to get not just back playing, but get back to that level, because he's not just a normal player.
Well, it's not just Jordy. I mean, I thought they would run the ball better with Lacy. Mm-hmm. Lacy came back in to training camp in better shape, and he looked good in the preseason, so I thought he was going to have himself a good year. Cobb's really not breaking out right now, so it's kind of interesting that they're struggling right now.
Agreed. And I think we haven't talked about this, but Mike McCarthy, the head coach for Green Bay, has to be an under-the-radar type of coach that could be in a position to lose his job if things don't go right.
Right.
Because Green Bay has the highest of expectations. They have one of the best quarterbacks ever, and they should look better than they do.
I agree.
What's a record that you think would send them out the door if they end up at the end of the season?
I think for sure if the Green Bay Packers are not better than 10-6, at a minimum, that's very questionable, because he's been there a while, and they've had a lot of struggles that you wouldn't expect in certain games and certain issues, and sometimes it's just you need a different voice. And with Aaron Rodgers, they should be putting up 12-4 to 14-2 seasons year in, year out, and not having these struggles. I mean, Minnesota with Sam Bradford beat them.
Well, Minnesota's not a bad team.
They're not. Don't get me wrong. They have a good defense and stuff, but it's also how they beat them. It's Green Bay's offense just doesn't look the same as it did years ago.
That's what's shocking.
And Mike McCarthy's supposed to be the offensive guy.
And they had the same players. That's what I mean, well, skill position players at least. And
So yeah, Green. That's anyways. Mike McCarthy, a guy that I think as a coach is could be on the hot seat.
I'm still taking Green Bay at home against Detroit.
Okay, let's. I want to get to news and gossip with you, Joe. But I want to first talk about tonight's teams: New England, Houston, their next opponents for Week 4, and see what you think. New England will be home next week against Buffalo in Week 4, and Houston will be home to Tennessee next week in Week 4. How do we think these two teams fare off of tonight's game?
New England seems to have Buffalo's number. Like, that's just, well, Rex Ryan and Bill Belichick head-to-head. It seems to be no contest, Bill Belichick. Not that he doesn't do that for everybody, but in Rex in particular, it just doesn't ever seem to match up. We already talked about the problems that their defense is having. So I think that, you know, it's going to be another W for the Patriots.
I agree. I think the Patriots take this one. I just think Buffalo's a mess right now.
Absolutely.
Their defense is a mess. They just fired their offensive coordinator. I do like Tyrod a lot, but Sammy's hurt. They don't have any offensive weapons besides McCoy right now. So I like New England big in this game.
New England as well. And I also am going to, for the next one, I'm going to think that Houston is going to come back fired up.
Oh,
and I think, I'm putting that one out there.
What about you guys in the Houston, Tennessee?
I know this is a kind of a cop-out, but I kind of want to see how Tennessee looks this week.
You want
to
wait, yeah. I understand.
My gut says Houston, though.
Okay.
I haven't looked at Tennessee much this season, being perfectly honest, so I don't have an opinion yet. We'll check them out and see.
I do like Tennessee, though. They lost to Minnesota at home first week, and then they beat Detroit last week. Mariota with the nice drive at the end.
I'm going to take Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't even need to see him this weekend. I'm taking Tennessee.
You're that
going
down.
Strong.
You're that
really
down.
Down in Houston.
Yeah, okay.
Really,
if the game was in Tennessee, I would say Tennessee. The fact that it's in Houston, it's swinging me towards Houston. And I can't, like I said before, I want to see how Tennessee plays this week.
Yeah.
Just because I don't have a good grasp on them right now.
I think I'm taking Tennessee's skill players behind. I'd rather have Mariota behind center, I think, right now than Osweiler.
Yeah.
I have more trust in him. I don't know why.
Delaney's solid.
Yeah. And DeMarco and Derrick Henry. So they have some weapons, Tennessee.
Yeah, Tajay.
So those are who Houston and New England will play in Week 4. Let's talk about any news and gossip that you have, Joe.
Let's talk about, kind of going back where we were, the most hated NFL players right now. So the list just came out. There was a poll taken. ESPN talked about it. I think it might have been an SI poll, though. Colin Kaepernick is the number one hated NFL player this season. Big shock and surprise. But the rest of the list might kind of surprise you and kind of lead you back to Colin's point initially when he started his protest. Number two on the list is Jameis Winston. So, football reasons, Jameis is kind of a target, you know, number one pick last year with Tampa Bay. He hasn't sort of shown up this season, but there are football reasons why you can hate him. He also has some off the field issues that are still lingering that people might not have forgiven him for, looked past. Number three is Sue. So, you
not
know, you're dumb.
He's
dirty, considered a dirty player. He was
go
a dirty
red,
player.
Go big red, go big red.
Just saying. Some people consider him.
He was really dirty on Detroit, but since he got to Miami,
well, he might not have any time. So, number four is baby manger Jesus, Tom Brady. Now, coming off of Deflategate, that might be expected as well, you know, and obviously he's Tom Brady, so if you're not a Patriots fan,
You hate him. I hate him.
Really plain and simple.
I just...
Or you're an ugly, jealous dude.
Yeah, I'm an ugly, jealous
not
dude.
Not you! I'm not saying you!
Listen.
I'm not saying that at all.
Who's five on that
I'm
list?
Saying those. Five on that list is Big Ben. So,
Big Ben.
Yeah, Big Ben. No. So there you go. You know, the Steelers are a winning franchise. Ben does work out there, but he also has some questionable things in his past. So perhaps that's why he made the list. But Colin, we know he hasn't really been football relevant. Not to take anything away from him in that manner in quite a bit of time. So the fact that he's gone from... He wasn't completely off the radar on the list, but the fact that he's jumped to number one says a lot.
It surprises me that Jameis is on there, I'm not going to lie. And especially number two. That's really high.
I think that we're still not far enough removed from the things that he was accused of or did in college. So I think that there's some still residual effects about it. I actually read a report about how female fans have been moving away these last 2 years from the NFL, likely because of the domestic issues and things like that. So to me, I don't know that for a fact, but I think things like that are factoring into this list if you look at it.
Hmm. Okay.
Fair enough. It's interesting. 4 out of the 5 top most hated players are quarterbacks.
Right. Hmm. So that says a lot about, I think a lot of that is just, you know, your team pride. And they're winning quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the reason why I hate Tom Brady is because he's so freaking good. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to.
Colin Kaepernick and Jameis aren't.
Well, we're not talking. Colin obviously doesn't count. Jameis.
I will say, I did hear that this week Chip Kelly came out in support of Colin Kaepernick, which is interesting. Because he didn't support him until like this week. It seemed like he was quiet in the back scenes until now, which is interesting. But I do think that Colin Kaepernick is going to get a chance to play football this season. Like I agree. I do envision at some point this season, whether it's because of injury to Blaine Gabbert or just because of a change in direction, I think that Kaepernick's going to get another chance. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays on the field. Because at the end of the day, if he wants to remain a football player, it's going to be how he performs on the field. So it will be interesting to see when he gets on the field next, how he performs. Because it's just a few years back that he was had his team
in the Super Bowl.
On the cusp of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
One drive away.
So
that
was a good top five. Do we have any
We have one more news and gossip.
Please.
Small tidbit from tonight's game, but since I'm a big Clippers fan, for all you Clippers fans out there. So Brissett was runner-up Mr. Florida Basketball to the one and only Austin Rivers.
Oh,
yeah. That's a great piece of information. I had no idea. Jacoby Brissett. He can do it all.
He can ball.
Right.
Is he also a baseball player? If you guys know, let us know in the comment section. Any fantasy advice this weekend, guys?
Fantasy advice this week?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Who should we start in the games?
I like Philip Rivers against that Colts defense. Their secondary is terrible. Start Travis Benjamin. Start Tyrell Williams. I like Christine Michael if Thomas Rawls is out. I think he scores against San Francisco. Carson Palmer against Buffalo. Larry Fitzgerald against that Buffalo defense. That's off the top of my head. I would have to go through the games.
Yeah.
Oh, you know I'm not giving fantasy advice. We discussed this. Yeah. No, fantasy is not my thing. I'm learning. I'm adapting. I'm just keeping up with what's going on currently. I don't need to add anything else to it.
Speaking of currently, if you started Rob Gronkowski, who returned...
Oh, my goodness.
He got you 0 points in fantasy.
See?
He was a decoy, so Rob Gronkowski, 0 points in fantasy football tonight.
I'm going to say stay away from Stephon Diggs, too. Just this week, though. I like him for the season, but just this week against Carolina. Just stay away. I think Bradford has a bad game. Not because of Diggs, but because of Bradford. I think Bradford's going to be a little inconsistent to start the year.
And let's preview next week's Thursday night football game now, which is between my team, the Miami Dolphins, and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
So Miami's 0-2. On the flip side, Cincinnati is 1-1.
Yes.
How do we see this matchup in Cincinnati?
I think Cincinnati wins this one fairly easily.
Okay.
Sorry that you're a Dolphins fan, but...
So am I.
I just think they're the better team. That offense is a mess. They seem to get away from them very early. Not just this year, but last year as well. They don't seem to be clicking at all. I love Jarvis. I love Jarvis Landry a lot, but I don't think Tannehill is going to do well against that Cincinnati defense.
Pains me to hear
it. Yeah.
Any other ideas, previews for the game, predictions? You want to do that or no?
You know, I don't do score predictions. We discussed that. It's hard for me. No, I really think that I don't think that it's going to be an exciting game. I'm going to be really honest. I'm not up for it, but we'll see. It could be a surprise. But again, Miami is not a team that I look forward to watching play. So I can imagine as a fan, you don't often look forward to watching them play either. But we live in hope.
I do think they win this week, though, if that matters.
Pains my ears.
Week 3, week 4, it's a no.
I will say definitely look forward to a better game next Thursday than tonight.
Yeah.
And also, it'll be interesting to see the colors, I think, because we're going to see orange. I want to see how that looks on the field. I'm assuming one team will be all orange, the other will be all white. Maybe all black against all orange? I don't know.
All teal versus all orange.
Yeah, all teal. It'll be an interesting combination of events. And then outside of that, The next time you'll see us, we got Monday Night Football, guys. Yes. So join us this Monday night. On Monday Night Football, we'll be recapping the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints game, which should be a good battle between two former rivals. Still kind of a rivalry.
Yeah, division game. So
not as high as it used to be. Rivalry game. So we'll be back Monday night for that. Till then, my name is Michael Rippey. You can catch me all over social media at Mike Rips, and I am joined by...
Hey, guys, I'm JJ Juergens. You can follow me at JJ Juergens and at my blog, TomGirl.tv.
I am Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_, and you can talk fantasy football with me all day and just regular football. Let's do it.
Josh has got you. And I'm Jill Monroe. You can follow me at Stiletto Jill and check out all your sports and pop culture gossip at JacksonStilettoJill.com.
Awesome. We'll see you next week for Thursday Night Football.
Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.